Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Disciple Makers Podcast by discipleship.org. This is Dave Stovall, and today's episode features lead pastor Rob Sweet from Fellowship Bible Church here in the Franklin, Tennessee area. Since 2014, Rob has guided his church to reevaluate its mission statement to emphasize discipleship explicitly. They now prioritize becoming a community that follows Jesus wholeheartedly and assists others in doing the same. Let's hear from Rob Sweet and let him encourage us today. Here we go.
Glad to be with you. Really honored to be with you. We were singing those worship songs together, and what was coming to my mind is I love being with people who love Jesus. And I love the fact that what we're here focused on of these couple of days is actually helping people fall in love with Jesus, to meet him, to encounter him, to become like him. And he's the greatest human who ever lived. He's not only human, he's fully God. He's merciful, he's kind, he's powerful, he's just. He takes our breath away. And what a joy it is for us to be able to be about that work of helping people follow Jesus. I want to tell you just for a few minutes a little bit about our journey at Fellowship Bible Church. Some of you, if you're from the local area, you may know of Fellowship a bit. I've been there since 2014. Have been the lead pastor since 2017. So in the last 5 or 6 years, we've been attempting to intentionally shift the culture of our church more toward a disciple-making church. And I want to share with you some of what we've done, some of where we've wrestled, some of what we've struggled. It's not been easy. I still feel many ways we're in the very first steps of that, but we've learned some things. And I want to share some things with you. And I know Rob Rogers, who you're going to hear from after me, is in a similar trajectory at his church. And we're going to have a chance to dialogue about that. So as Chris said earlier, we want this to be very practical. Let me start with who we are as a church and who we've really been as a church. We're 25 years old as a church. We're probably known best for expository teaching. A lot of people that come to Fellowship, you ask them, hey, what drew you here? They'll say, well, really wanted a place that does expository teaching. That's what we're known best for. I love it. That's my background. That's what I love to do. But I realized early on, as we were thinking about how where God was leading us, I realized expository teaching is not a mission. Expository teaching, as important as it is, and preaching the Bible in general, as important that is, it's not the mission that Jesus gave to the church. And so one of the first things we did was we actually said, we're gonna take that seriously, and we're going to change the wording of our mission statement. The old mission statement was not anti-discipleship, but it didn't explicitly name discipleship or disciple-making or following Jesus to really call our body to what we're about. So we spent some time reworking a mission. If I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if you've ever been a part of reworking a mission, that's not easy to do. People have a lot of different opinions. Words create worlds. And we wanted to name what Jesus had called us to do, but in a way that also carries who we are uniquely as a church. So where we landed, this is just our expression of it now for about a year and a half. We've had this as our mission statement, becoming a community of people who follow Jesus with their whole heart and help others do the same. For us, that's how we expressed it. You can express it a lot of different ways, but for us, there was some clarity that came. Let's put following Jesus in the very center of our mission statement, becoming a community of people who follow Jesus with our whole heart and help others do the same. When we were in the process of talking about rewriting our mission statement, I remember a phone call I had with one of our executive pastors at the time. He and I were kind of debriefing some meetings that we'd had earlier in the day and wrestling through some things. And I asked Eric, I said, Eric, if you were to answer this question, how would you answer it? How do you think most of the people at Fellowship would answer the question, what did it mean to follow Jesus? What does it actually mean to follow Jesus? And as we talked about that, we realized there's probably 100 different answers. I think some people would say it means to believe the Bible and obey the Bible. Some people would probably say it means to do all the things Christians are supposed to do. Some people would probably say, you know, this and that. And you can imagine how people at your church might answer that question. And then our conversation turned toward, I don't know if I know the answer to that question. And Eric said the same thing. I don't know that me, who's trying to lead this church, could clearly explain to someone what it means to follow Jesus. And so we started wrestling with this. And for us, kind of, if step one was kind of naming a mission that was explicitly focused on disciple making and following Jesus and helping others follow Jesus, for us, step two had to be to define what we need by following Jesus. And so what we did was we realized, okay, how can we make following Jesus more concrete for people? And we took a couple different stabs, a couple iterations at language to kind of work on this. But we stumbled on this idea of if we help people start talking about practices, like actual things to do, if you make following Jesus about a lifestyle, if you make following Jesus more concrete, then it was going to help people grab onto it a little bit better. So we started talking about the practices of Jesus. In other words, what did Jesus actually do that we need to imitate? What did Jesus actually say that we need to obey? What we learned was simply starting to talk to people about the idea of practices. What practices could we engage in that would imitate the life of Christ? That shifted discipleship in their mind. For our church culture, we learned most people associated discipleship with learn only. And learning is a huge part of it, is it not? But learning more about the Bible, having better theology, maybe having right theology, knowing how to exegete a text, that was a little bit of our church culture. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to not throw that out. We wanted to say, okay, that's a great starting point, but what does it look like to live it out? Not just know God's word, but live God's word and do that in a way that's explicitly focused on imitating this person, of following this person of Jesus. For us, we realized our church was better at teaching than training. And if you think about the difference between those two, I'd say it this way. I think great teaching is training, but most teaching stops at the head knowledge only. And so we wanted to make a shift in our church. We started saying it this way. What would it look like if we started to move toward becoming more of a training center rather than just a teaching center? And now that got interesting for us because now it felt a little bit like you're messing with the core of what people love about our church, which is the teaching. But how do we take people beyond a teaching center to a training center? And so our step was figure out what the practices, the core practices that we need to train people to actually do. If I could use this illustration, I'm not a basketball player. I'm not a sports guy at all, honestly. But I can imagine if you were going to teach someone to play basketball, someone that knew nothing about basketball, after explaining the rules, you'd have to start training them on some practices. You'd have to say there are really four things you need to be able to do to play basketball. You've got to be able to dribble. You've got to be able to shoot. You've got to be able to pass. And you got to be able to guard. Yeah, and I know there's other things too. Again, I'm not a basketball guy, but just imagine those four core practices. And then once you teach them those four core things, you can say, now start practicing those things and your competency will increase. Have you ever thought about what are the core practices of following Jesus? What would be sort of the handful of things that you could say, if I could train you how to do this and train you how to do this, then you can practice those things. And over time, only fueled by the Spirit, which I'll come back to, over time, you'll be following Jesus more and more and more. So that's where we've spent a lot of time. And this is right where we are right now. And I just want to share with you our thinking on this. And it started with kind of a criteria of what might these practices need to sort of meet, which criteria is that? So we'll put these on the screen. For us, they were these: must come straight from the life of Jesus. Okay, it's got to be something that Jesus did or Jesus taught. I mean, it's just right from Jesus' own life. Must engage the whole person. You know, for us, we use the language of the whole heart, and there's things that we've developed on that, but that's in our mission statement, the whole person. So not just your head only, but your whole life. It must work for everyone. We wanted something that from our youngest kids all the way up through our adults, we could say, here's what it looks like to follow Jesus, and something that even the kids could grab onto. And then for us, this last one was 3 to 5. I don't think that's a magical number, but I will say less than 3. I don't know that that could really cover everything. I mean, where my mind would go with less than 3 is love God, love people, but I don't know how concrete that is. We want to go a little bit more layer concrete than that. And then when you get above 5, I just think it's hard for people to do all of it and kind of remember it all. So for us, it was 3 to 5. So we started with this criteria and we worked it through a process with our executive team and our elders and got input from other folks. And we just honed it a little bit. And here's where we landed. These are our four practices of a follower of Jesus. And I'll go through these on the screen one by one, just to, again, kind of share with you where we are. The first one we realize has to be something about your time with God, and commune with God is the way that we talk about that. Now, the reason this is number one is when we thought about the life of Christ, we thought this was Jesus' secret, in a sense, his communion with the Father, his dependence on the Father, his obedience flowed from this starting place of moment by moment communion. He lived in the presence of the Father every single moment. And so for us, learning this practice of communion with God, it includes teaching people how to pray, which is, of course, something that many Christians don't actually know how to do. And then it moves toward learning to engage the routine parts of your day, mindful of the presence of God. So learning how to pray and learning how to engage your whole day, the routine parts of your day, mindful of the presence of God. You know, again, all this in imitation of Jesus. So this is the first practice we talk about. Everything else flows from it. Let me move on. Number two, hear and obey God's word. So starting from a place of communion with God, then the next thing we want to do as we imitate and follow Jesus is to hear God's word. We chose the word hear very intentionally. We could have gone with read and obey God's word, or study and obey God's word, or know and obey God's word. But there's something subtle that we're hoping to communicate with the word hear. And that's this. We want to help them learn the practice of reading and studying the Bible as an act of listening. So not just an intellectual activity, but an activity that we realize the same Holy Spirit that authored the scripture is now in them as a follower of Jesus and is re-speaking the text to them. And the Spirit wants to speak through the scripture. And you go all the way back to the Reformers, and that's the way they talked about the true source of authority. They didn't say like the source of authority is God's word. They said the source of authority is the Spirit speaking through God's word. Isn't that interesting? This Spirit word dynamic that's going on in this. So we want to teach our body to hear and obey God's word. In other words, to be able to have a two-way communication. God speaks to them through the scripture as they learn it and study it and read it and meditate on it, and then they obey it. We want to train people just to know good theology, although we certainly believe in that, but to hear the voice of God speaking to them through the scripture. We want to train people how to tune their ears to the Father's voice like Jesus did. He knew the Bible. He authored the Bible, the text of the Old Testament. He listened to the voice of the Spirit and the voice of his Father speaking through it. So that's number two for us. I'm going to pick up the pace on these last two, and then I'll tie this all together. Oops, went a little bit too far. You know what? I'll talk about them. I'll leave them both on the screen. Love each person. It was number three, and multiply your life. Number four, there's an intentional shift. Kind of the first two are really about love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And the second two are love your neighbor as yourself. Now, number three, love each person. We started with love all people, and we realized that that's not concrete enough. There's a subtle shift in someone's mind when you call them to love each person, not just all people. It's an interesting thing. Words create worlds. Love each person calls you to be intentional in your interaction with the first person you look at in the morning when you wake up, all the way through the rest of your day. The person you have lunch with, person you have coffee with, the coworker you interact with, the person that comes to deliver your mail. What does it look like? This is how Jesus lived. Loved each person that the Spirit led him to. Now, the last one, multiply your life. Of course, this is the end goal. And all of it's the end goal. But this is the ultimate purpose of Jesus's life. If you've ever thought about it that way, in Jesus' short lifespan, he could only interact with a few thousand people, or however many people he had, you know, one-on-one interaction with. His plan all along, though, was to multiply himself. And he started with just a few, and then that grew. And this is what we've been talking about all weekend, is this idea of multiplication. But it's really, this takes someone, if you're teaching them these four practices, it takes them to the ultimate purpose of why they're here on the earth, to continue the mission of Jesus in their time and in their place. We've loved thinking about how every person in our congregation has been placed in a specific neighborhood, a specific workplace, a specific context. They're on the PTO. They've got influence here. They've got influence there. We want to help them discover what it would look like to be living that out, to have a kingdom platform. Think about it that way. Think about themselves as a minister. And so we're doing a lot of work on that. So here's what we're finding, just to wrap up with these four practices. First of all, most people can wrap their head around these things. They can imagine what it looks like to wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to commune with God today. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to spend some time in scripture and listen to God's voice. I'm going to love each person that I come in contact with. Not easy, but grabbable. You see, that's the key. They're not easy, but grabbable. And then I want to have someone I'm investing my life in. I want to multiply my life. So first, it's made it more concrete for our congregation. Second, it's made them realize they need help. Because I don't know about you, I can't look at any of those four things and say, I know how to do it. It's made people lean on the Spirit. It's made people say, I need to be trained. I need help. I can't do this. And it's led us as a church, honestly, to John 15:5. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And isn't that a great place to be as a church?
Thanks so much for listening to the episode today, everybody. And just a reminder, the National Disciple Making Forum is this week in just a couple of days. If you're in Indianapolis right now, please come to Mount Pleasant Christian Church and join us for this amazing event. Up next, we're going to be hearing from Rob Rogers. He's talking about culture change from management to movement. So make sure to jump back on here and listen to that next episode when we release it. All right, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you.